T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
We've got rants coming up in an hour, but I've got leftovers from yesterday. It was a busy rant day, so I'm using some of them today. So everybody gets to hear themselves and everybody gets to hear each other.
Yeah, Todd, I just want to say, you know who started these ridiculous benefits for the employees of the state of Connecticut? Good old John Rowland. That's right. He signed over a 7-year contract.
Yeah, he didn't start it, but he sure joined in.
Which totally broke the back of Connecticut. And now, then you had Malloy continued it on, and now you have Lamont. But it was started by a guy named John Rowland.
Not started.
I don't know what kind of conservative you'd call John Rowland, but I think he was one of the worst governors we ever had in this state of Connecticut.
Well,
nice,
you,
huh?
You can make
real
an argument.
Real freaking nice.
Yeah, that's betrayal by people who are supposed to be conservative is standard in this environment, and it's a problematic thing. It really is, because that leaves that. This is why I don't like to support the posers, the ones who pretend to be Republicans, but don't do anything Republican, because they're really all about power and the power structure. And I think it's important that we filter out and understand the difference.
Todd Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC. Were you shocked, upset? Did you get a feeling of betrayal? Tom Brady at the White House, schmoozing it up with the president. We'll play that cut. Doug in Ellington. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Todd. Nice to talk to you again.
Thank you, sir.
I didn't call about Brady, but yeah, I'm a little bit, I'm not betrayed, but I'm not happy with it. I thought Brady had a, was his own man, but obviously he's not.
But what if he doesn't care that much?
Of course he cares. He's just afraid to express it.
Well, it could be.
He's married to a liberal. Liberal women have a tendency to take over a man. And oh, you laugh. I know so many of them that never were liberal. So did you.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just laughing at it. It's okay. A funny thought, okay. But it's true.
Oh, yeah. Very true. There's not a guy.
And what was the other thing you wanted to talk about?
Okay. The guy called about Rowland being the reason for the problems. You know, Rowland was corrupt. There's no doubt about it. But the voter is the person who's responsible for everything that's happened, not Rowland. Look at yourself.
Well, it certainly matters what politicians do when they get power, though, don't you think? And I think he was wrong about Rowland. Rowland did some bad things, but he wasn't the start. I just think he has his facts wrong.
Well, he had a lot. He did a lot of bad things when he got Lisa Foley and Brian Foley involved with. They got him campaign stuff. They knew that they were doing bad things, but they did them anyways. You know, they were told they were doing bad things, and they did them anyways. So politicians can't be trusted. We know that. But we're the ones who elect.
Well, that's true. Sorry, you're breaking up on us, Doug. Thank you for the call.
They knew that
Chris
they were
is
doing
in Simsbury. Hi, Chris. Turn that radio
hey,
down,
Todd.
Sir.
Yep.
Hey, Chris.
Hi. I'm calling about the Roland thing, too. And John did make his mistakes, that's for sure. But everybody is forgetting that the House of Representatives in Connecticut has been controlled by the Democrats since 1970s. And also most of the Senate, most of that time. And that's where the real power is, and that's where all the deals for the unions were made. And John Roland had to basically kind of go along with that, or else he wouldn't be in Connecticut.
Well, why did he have to go along? Do we lose? I guess we lost you too, Chris. Are you guys driving right next to each other? See, this is my problem with people who get elected. This is why I can't support Themis Claridis for governor. You know, that's just a joke to me, because when she was in power, which was the last 4 years she was in the House, she was the minority leader. And she, like Len Fasano, who was the minority leader in the Senate, Republican, they made deals with the Democrats all the time to help the Democrats get what they wanted in exchange for little crumbs and pebbles that would be dropped at their feet, because they're really about power. Certain people just are in love with the idea that they get to be there with the people who've got all this money flowing through their hands. And they want to maybe see what it's like to be near it, feel the glow of all that gold shining on them. I don't know. But I can't support people who, when they get the opportunity, don't make a stand. You have to make stands. And when Republicans do appalling things in terms of going along with the appalling things the Democrats are doing, there are no excuses. There's no, oh, well, they had to because, no, I'm sorry. If all you're going to do with your elected position is stand there and fight, that's a glorious thing. And that lifts up the cause. And that gives people the chance to, one, see people behaving with integrity in political life, but also to see people articulating, to hear what the message is from the side of those who believe in the American system. We hear all day long, every day, the rants and the lies and the misrepresentations and the tweaks of language from the anti-American left. But how about having the pro-American people stand up and voice the opinion? Because we know that there is an audience for it. They have to hear it before it can resonate for them. So I don't buy that any governor has to go along in order to get what he wants. Don't get anything you want then. Stand there and build up a following that is strong enough to force the other side to come to your table. You're supposed to be able to convince people of things. That's why you're in politics. Okay, so here's Tom Brady making people nauseous with Joe Biden at the White House. If I have the right cut here, I'm not sure.
But we found our rhythm. Oh, we got on a roll. Not a lot of people, think that we could have won. And in fact, I think about 40% of the people still don't think we won.
That was a little, you get that? 40% of the people don't think we won. Brady's saying that's a little, you know, he's showing himself to be simpatico with Biden.
I understand that.
You understand that, Mr. President?
A little sucker.
Yeah.
A little sucker.
And personally, you know, it's nice for me to be back here. We had a game in Chicago where I forgot what down it was. I lost track of one down in 21 years of playing. And they started calling me Sleepy Tom.
Yep. There he is showing his empathy with Joe Biden. The crowd hates it. The crowd hates it.
Why would they do that to me?
I don't know. He's just
annoying.
A guy.
He's so annoying.
Why is he so annoying?
He thinks
he's
so
You're just
perfect.
Annoyed because you're a Flyers fan. What is it?
Eagles.
Sixers.
It's Eagles.
Eagles.
They beat him with a backup. He lost.
It's just because you. It's just because you like Philadelphia teams, and the Patriots have been the dominant team. How long is it? He's played 40 years. How long has Brady been controlling the NFL?
My whole
20,
life.
20 years.
My entire life. Yeah. But he still sucks.
It's too bad that he had to do that. But, you know, I don't put that pressure on him anymore. As long as he keeps winning football games. I like the Bucs. I watch Buccaneers football. Yeah, I'll play it once more. Okay, here you go. No, we'll go back to the beginning. It's because it is gross. I mean, does he have to be this smarmy?
But we found our rhythm. We got on a roll. Not a lot of people, you know, think that we could have won. And in fact, I think about 40% of the people still don't think we won.
I understand that.
You understand that, Mr. President?
I understand that.
Yeah. And personally, you know, it's nice for me to be back here. We had a game in Chicago where I forgot what down it was. I lost track of one down in 21 years of playing. And they started calling me Sleepy Tom. Why would they do that to me? So,
Yep. There he is sucking up to the president at the White House.
Gross.
Bob in Enfield. Hi, Bob.
How you doing? I think that was just a little stand-up comedy thing, you know? I mean,
it was.
Maybe, yeah, it was. I mean, it would take it as a joke. I thought it was funny. But
well, it is a joke, but that's what people find offensive. That he's joking around with Biden, making himself simpatico. He's bending himself into the shape of Joe.
Yeah, well, it doesn't bother me. But you know, it wasn't Roland. It was when Roland had to resign from office. Jody Rowe mm-hmm. took over. She made a statement one time. I don't know a thing about the budget, and I don't know who crafted the budget for her, but it changed right after that. Roland did a good job as far as the budget.
Well, Roland did a big sellout to the unions. That's what the reference is. He did a huge sellout to the unions and a long-term one. And that's why people are saying what they're saying about John Roland.
Yeah.
That's all.
Jody
Jody Rell, I think, I wasn't around, but my impression is that she was a placeholder. She didn't do much of anything. She didn't assert herself. And this is the thing. Let's not support people. Let's not elect people who don't inject themselves into the process in a positive way, but just want to be the one who gets to be driven around and have everybody call Mr. Governor or Madam Governor or whatever it is.
Yeah, the Peter
right?
principle. No, you the victim of the Peter principle. You know, you rise to a level beyond your capabilities.
Yeah, yes. Well, that's politics, I guess, invented the Peter principle. Thank you, Bob, for that. The Peter principle, I'd forgotten about that. You rise to a level beyond. What is the exact Peter principle? You have it memorized there, Peter? No?
I'm not Peter.
You're not Peter? I thought I'd give you a little fame and fortune. What is Peter principle? Isn't it amazing how we used to have like 30 books on a shelf?
Encyclopedias,
yeah. Cost $5,000. Peter Principle is a concept in management developed by Lawrence J. Peter, which observes that people in a hierarchy tend to rise to their maximum level of incompetence. Wow. See, that, Jolly Ned certainly did that, didn't he? Wow, the maximum level of incompetence. Employees are promoted based on their success in previous jobs until they reach a level at which they are no longer competent, as skills in one job do not necessarily translate to another. There's Jolly Ned again. His expertise was being born rich, and that doesn't really transfer to a management position because he's still born rich, but that doesn't mean he knows anything about how to run a state or provide leadership or have backbone. And, in fact, it probably works against him. I don't know. Let's get another rant in. We're doing yesterday's rants in advance of next hour because we had leftovers.
I live in a town where the road conditions are deplorable. Nothing's getting paved. We drive over the same bumps that we have for the past 20 years.
I love that.
We pay our taxes every year, and apparently none of that money goes to improving the roads or infrastructure. But it's funny how in Middletown, the mayor, Ben Florsheim, a Wesleyan graduate, made sure that the road to his house is getting paved.
Well, he probably went out there and paved it himself with his own tar. Speaking of which, the New Haven line, is that a crossroads? Did you see that story in the Current yesterday? That one's pretty interesting. You talk about something not being maintained, and then suddenly it's the glory of, oh, we've got to do this multi-billion-dollar program. 860-522-9842.
Something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
I'm really having a lot of fun lately looking up the rates of different things in states, the comparative charts of states. Remember I told you last week I was looking at the highest taxes by state, and Connecticut was down at the bottom of the list, towards the bottom of the list, which meant really high taxes, incredibly high taxes, for no reason, and a huge gap between the highest taxed states and the lowest, and it's inexplicable. There is no product that is delivered to regular folks. There's no benefit that's derived from having all the taxation. It's kind of shocking. And the list we were talking about earlier today confirms that you can be in a high-tax state and you can see the destruction done, the hostility towards business that results, and the poor services for business, the environment that is unpleasant for businesses to operate in, that is created by the high taxation. And in Connecticut, nobody does anything about either to lower the taxation or for businesses. So they'll talk about the importance of having startups, which Connecticut needs. You know, Connecticut is right next to New York City, a booming startup place, and Boston, a booming startup place, and that's causing the young people to move out. Even if they stay around for college, they want to leave afterwards because they want to be in exciting environments where business is happening and where the lifestyle is the way young people want it. And we don't know what's going to happen post-COVID. Maybe nobody goes back to the big cities. Maybe this movement of people, you think it's going to return to
normal
for
videos?
People your age?
Have you seen videos of like kids going out my age at all anywhere, whether it be like New York, Nashville, LA? Like,
no.
People are ready. Like, it is. I don't think people will be back in cities. They're already going back. I mean, at least young people.
So?
At least young people, yeah.
Well, that's who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're the target age who in Connecticut, people your age don't move back home. It's just like you couldn't wait to get out of Pennsylvania. People here your age can't wait to get out of Connecticut and go someplace where it's happening. I'm just teasing. I know everything's wonderful in Pennsylvania. It's the best state in the world, right? And Philly's the best city that God ever graced.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I like traveling. I don't know. I love Pennsylvania. It's home, but I'm not like this rah-rah, like I love Philly, but I'm not going to be like, oh, it's the greatest city, it's better than every city of all time.
You're kind of a knee-jerk, guttural scream in favor of Philadelphia.
Todd Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yeah, it's what is this, Tuesday afternoon, 860-522-9842. In a half hour, we get the today's rant line going. 751-4698. Alfonso McGriff is our regular Tuesday guy at this time. Hey, Alfonso.
Hey, Todd. How is everything?
Everything's rocking. How's your summer going?
Man, I have no complaints, as usual.
I hope you invested heavily in rain.
I actually have no problems with rain.
I know, but it's just, it'd be nice to be, as the water flows, it'd be nice if it was carrying money into your pocket, because
no.
You invested, if there's some investment, there must be, there's an investment for everything. You've got to be able to put money down on rain.
Well, no,
missed
I have
opportunity.
Not invested. I have not invested in rain. I messed up.
What have you invested in?
Me.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty much my greatest investment. I have a question for
best.
You today.
Yes, sir.
Question concerning the jab.
The jab, yes.
Yeah. There have been people who have had both jabs, and they're still testing positive for the COCO. So I'm wondering, how can these six media outlets keep telling people that if they go get their second jab, because I guess a million or so people haven't taken the second jab, how can they keep telling these people, well, in order to be protected from the new variant, you need to get your second jab, and the people who haven't had the jab are vulnerable to the new variant? As though,
because they're because you can't distinguish somebody who's gotten the jab from somebody who's gotten the disease because they test positive? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is, even with the jab, fully jabbed up, people have tested positive. So
oh,
how
people have
then,
tested positive, yes.
Yes, people have tested. One of the, on the national level, Jay Williams, who is a sportscaster for ESPN, said, I was all jabbed up, and he still tested positive. But the media is telling us that the jab protects you from the new variant. And I'm saying, how can it protect you from a new variant if it's not protecting you from the original one?
Well, it does protect you. According to the data, you're not going to get sick. You're much less likely to get sick. And more importantly, you're very unlikely to get seriously ill if you get the virus, but you've been vaccinated. So the real success of the vaccine, according to what they say, is that you don't have to worry about getting severely ill or dying, because that barely happens. My understanding is 3% of the hospitalizations are people who are vaccinated. So, you know, that means out of 1,000 people, there's 30 people in the hospital who are vaccinated.
What about the other percentage? Where 97% of the people who test positive who aren't vaccinated still don't have any issues?
Still don't have it. You mean, so people aren't necessarily sick. Well, excellent. You know, if you want to take the risk, and because they do talk about cases, and I think this is the point you're really making, or the fact underlying it, Alfonso, is that the cases is what we talk about. But cases are largely people who get a positive test but don't have symptoms or have very mild symptoms, right?
Right. Yeah.
And therefore, what's the big concern? And I guess the answer is, the big concern is that it's still a virus that hurts people. And if you have people around you who, or on a larger sense, we all have people around us who we don't want to infect or who could be infectious. And if everybody gets vaccinated, then the chances, the argument is, the chances of us being a conductor of it to somebody else who's vulnerable are vastly reduced. But that depends on us believing all that, and you're not believing it, I take it. And there's a bunch of it I don't believe, but I still got vaccinated because I thought it made me safer and made my mother safer when I'd go to visit her.
Right. It doesn't make sense to me. That's all. I'm just trying to understand it, and it doesn't seem understandable.
I don't have the data that you're talking about in front of me. My understanding is, from the data I've looked at, is that there's virtually nobody who's sick with COVID who is sick with COVID having been vaccinated. That if you are sick with COVID, it's because you weren't vaccinated. And that's created a two-class society. This may all be hype because I haven't done a lot of studying on it in the last few weeks. But the argument is we're now a two-class society with people who really have very few concerns about their health who've gotten the vaccination, and everybody else who's got vulnerabilities, particularly with a new strain that's more easily conducted from one person to the next.
I can dig it.
But none of that convinces you, and you still don't want to get the vaccine, is that it?
No, not as long as it's an experiment. If it gets okay by the CDC as a official vaccine, then that's something I consider. Mm-hmm.
Why does that matter?
It matters because when I go to the page, the CDC page, every other day they're saying, "Hey, this is what we figured out up to this point, and this is what we figured out up to this point." I just don't want to be part of an experiment. That's all.
Yeah, well, that's fine, but the whole thing's an experiment. Life is an experiment. Government is an experiment. Society is an experiment. What we're doing is not an experiment.
Life and government and society is not injecting something into my body.
Well, that's part of it, because disease is part of it, and then you have to face up to the disease reality. So what do you do if your government, if you were the decision maker, and people are dying? Like Jolly Ned sat there and did nothing while the disease flowed down through the commuter rail into Connecticut and invaded nursing homes, and people are getting knocked off like flies. What do you do at that point you're the one in charge?
You have to do something, I guess. But I mean, there's people dying from all kinds of stuff. There are people dying from all kinds of stuff. This is not the only thing
people
are dying from.
No, it's the number three killer. regarding your point, Alfonso, it's the number three killer in the country. Even at its peak, it's the number three killer.
Right. And
cancer, number one. Heart disease, number two. How panicked are we over heart disease?
There's not a whole lot of heart disease. There's not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot.
Even with this, the whole issue in the beginning had everything to do with our immune system. At no point were there ever any heavy promotions for how to maintain a healthy immune system, as there were promotions to inject fear into people and force people into doing things out of fear, as opposed to educating people about the immune system. So
yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In the same way, they name heart disease as number one, and actually, I hear more about how to avoid heart disease than I do how to maintain a healthy immune system.
Cancer number one, heart disease number two. I don't know. The immune system thing, I think, is a good argument, because what the political class want to do is have everybody scared. It's just like Jolly Ned declaring a state of emergency, and his declaration is, I'm not sure how long I want to get for an extension, and I'm going to talk to the legislature about it, and I might need emergency powers because in the fall I might have to say something about masks. And on the one hand, they're trying to create fear. On the other hand, he's got no reason he can offer for why there should be an extension of emergency powers. So your point about the political games is well placed. Obviously, there's all kinds of gamesmanship, and the number one priority for people in politics with regard to COVID is how does it benefit them and how does it cause them to win more elections and gain more power? That's pretty sad.
Yeah. Well, like, I think pretty much anything. If I had walked in a casino and there was a 97% chance that I would win, I'd probably gamble. And as it relates to a 97% of people who test positive not having any issues, I'll kind of go with that for now until I don't see the need to rush into sticking something in my arm right now.
Well, one of the things that supports what you're saying, Alfonso, is that this was demographically based. The vulnerability was demographically based. So with regard to what you were saying about immune systems, if you're healthy and you're under a certain age, your vulnerability to COVID was relatively small. And if you were older, all the death was essentially happening in people over the age of 65 or 70, whatever the number was, and mostly coming, disproportionately coming from people in nursing homes who weren't properly protected, which had staffs who were working in multiple properties. You know, they weren't isolated, the staffs. You know how they made the big thing about cohorts in schools? But they didn't cohort the workers to make sure they weren't transmitting disease that was picked up in nursing home A to nursing home B. So a lot of the crisis was created by the newness of the vaccine, the badness of the management offered by the elected officials, and the vulnerability of a particular demographic group that didn't reflect on the whole of society. And I think they did merge all that together to make it look way more dangerous for somebody in their 30s or 40s or 50s than it is for somebody in their upper 60s or 70s or 80s.
Mm-hmm. And the machines. Those machines was taking people out in the beginning also.
Yes, that's true. They misused the machines. They didn't know the ventilators, yeah.
Right.
All right, Alfonso. Interesting.
All right.
Interesting to get your perspective.
Have a great day.
What? Nice to talk with you. Alfonso McGriff joins us on a regular basis. Every week at this time, as a matter of fact. 860-522-9842. Matthew. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, Todd? It's probably already been said, but, you know, with the vaccines, I'm fully vaccinated, have been for a couple of months. You know, my understanding is that's not a guarantee I won't get the disease again. It's just it's less likely to kill me. And, you know, that's what the... You know, so when I say, you know...
Yes,
say,
it's supposed to make it very unlikely that you'll get seriously ill. Did you say again, as in you had COVID before?
I may not have... No, I misspoke. I didn't... I haven't tested positive,
okay.
Thank goodness. And I... Mm-hmm. So, no, I mean, it's like, yeah, I don't know. I do agree with you to some extent that this thing has... that they're kind of ignoring the numbers of different age demographic groups, because from what I've read, kids have about a 1 in 20,000 chance of dying from this thing.
Yeah, kids don't get sick in general.
Yeah. Yeah, but hey, well, that's all I wanted to say. But thank you again.
Nice to hear from you, Matt. Appreciate the phone call. The rant line number, 860-751-4698. We do the rants starting in the next hour. We also have Tom Scott, who joins us on Tuesday afternoons in the second half of the 5 o'clock hour. Tom Scott, a former politician. He spent 10 years in the state Senate when he was a young guy, and he also helps Republicans running for office, advises people on campaigns, and not just running for office, but actions of political actions in the state. So he's fun to talk with. So we got a booming next hour coming your way. Give us a call too. We take phone calls during the hour. 860-522-9842.
Protect your vehicle. vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.